Okay. Well, now, my subject is, does Scripture prove God will save everyone? And you'll notice I didn't say, does Scripture say God will save all? Now, there's a reason for that, okay? I know all of us here believe that God will save all humanity. We believe, you know, I know that we all believe that fervently, and we base it on the Scriptures. But today, I'm going to play not the devil's advocate, but the theologian's advocate, okay? And I want you, first of all, to give me some Scriptures that state emphatically, God will save everyone. Now, who has a Scripture?
Mark 1:5.
No.
I'm cheating.
That, no, you're not even cheating, because that's my first Scripture, and that does not show that at all.
Well, I just say everyone.
Okay. All right, if you don't know the Scripture, tell me what it says. What Scripture do you know?
Timothy 4:10. I go 9-11, but okay.
Okay. All right, let's turn there and see what it says. 1 Timothy 4:10. And then I'm going to play the theologian's advocate. And we'll see what we come up with. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. This is the verse we have at the bottom of BibleTruths.com. Because we believe in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now, what is it about that Scripture that would make you think that God will or have to or save all? What is in there? What word? All. Okay, the word all, right? Wrong, pale face. You don't understand hermeneutics or any of this good stuff taught in the theological seminaries of this world. Wrong. The word all can mean all, completely, totality, or as many as. Anybody else have a Scripture? So they say, well, yes, he is the living God who will save as many men as he will save, however many that is, those that come to him out of free will choice and accept Christ, that he will save that many, that all. The word is pas, P-A-S in the Greek. That's how many he will save, as many as he will save. And he'll especially save believers for sure, because, you know, God so loved the world that whoever believes in his Son, you know, will be saved. Receive eternal life, right? Sure, if you believe. Sure, certainly to believers. And all men who are not believers, but, you know, well, maybe will be believers in the ages to come, you know, through the church age, and however many there are, the all, the pause, the many, they will be saved too, but not everyone. Okay, we have another Scripture. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth? Well, what is it in that verse suggests everyone will be saved?
All.
Same word, all, pause, as many as. So, here's their argument. If pause means as many as, then it doesn't have to mean all, the absolute all. See? Anybody else have a Scripture?
Colossians 1:20.
Bingo! Maybe not bingo. We'll see. Colossians 1:20. And it says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. Okay, what's the word in there that suggests he will save all? All, pause. He will save as many as. See, here's how a theological commentary might go on that, you see. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all, brackets, that is, pause, the Greek word pause, as many as, come to him, accept him, receive his sacrifice, etc. That's how many pause all. As many as do what they have to do. See, they say, you know, you got to put all the scriptures together. Can't just base it on one scripture. Does any 1 Corinthians 16? What?
15.
Oh, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Whoops, gone too far there. All right, let's read this one. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Theological brackets. Those who accept Jesus shall be made alive in the kingdom of God. Those who do not accept Jesus shall be made alive so they can suffer for all eternity in the lake of fire. They'll all be made alive, you betcha. Do we have another scripture?
Well, the all shall come to repentance in 2 Peter.
The all. Pause. As many as come to repentance will come to repentance. And as many as will not, will not. And as many as will not be saved. Now, let me show you that technically they're right about the word. Let's prove that, okay? Of course, why do they say where it says all shall be saved? Why do they say that doesn't mean all? Because they despise the word of God. That's why. They despise the word of God. They don't say that this word never means all or complete or every or everyone. They only say it never means that when it's talking about salvation. Why? Because they despise the word of God. One day we're going to understand that. It's only when it comes to salvation, specifically and particularly, not that there are other occasions that they know it doesn't mean all, because that's their proof to say that it doesn't mean all when it's talking about salvation. But the reason they do that is they despise the word of God. And they don't want everybody to be saved. And they're vengeful and hateful. There are people that people have hurt them in their lives, and they want those people to go to hell. How many people, how many thousands of people have written emails and not only said, go to hell, you MS, you SOB, every five. In addition to the all those that says, well, Ray, they don't say it quite that abruptly. They just say, Ray, you're going there. One day you're going. You find that. And trust me, they want me to go there. They want me to someday wake up in hell burning and they'll say, ha, 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 ha. I told you, Ray. Well, I repent now. You can't. Why? You can't do good when God has determined you have to do bad for all eternity. No, but I want to do good anyway. You can't. You mean it's not allowed? It's not allowed. God will not allow me to repent and do good here in hell. No! What? Can you see the insanity of this stuff? Gosh. All right, so here's a verse now. Notice it. And they went out unto him all. Same Greek word, pause. Now, if we say all means every last single one, then here it is. It means all, any, every, the whole, ever, as many as. Now, if it didn't have that as many as in there, you see, we could say, yes, it does mean absolutely everyone. All the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem. Now, are we to really believe that every single human person alive in all Judea and in the whole city of Jerusalem went out to Christ? The babies, the infants, the elderly that can't walk? Of course not. Now notice the next. And were all, same Greek word, pause, all, any, every, the whole, or as many as. They were all baptized of him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, does that word pause in the Greek mean every single one there? No, it does not. And we don't even have to speculate on that, because Matthew... I got 37. That's wrong, isn't it? That should be 3. Matthew 3, 7, I think. There is no Matthew 30 there. Only goes to 28. Okay. All right, I have to change that. Well, I'll change it. I think it's Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Okay, it'd be 337. Oh, it's 7 and 8. Oh yeah, 7 and 8. Okay. Now, but when he saw as many of... This is John the Baptist. When he saw that the Pharisees and Sadducees were come to his baptism, he said unto them, "You generation of snakes, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." In other words, he wasn't going to baptize them unless they repented of all their evil doings. So we know for a fact the Sadducees and the Pharisees were not baptized. It says they were all baptized. We also know that when they asked Christ, you know, "By what authority you do these things?" And he said, "Well, I'll answer you that, but you first tell me, by what authority did John the Baptist baptize?" And they got together and they said, "Well, what's he trying to do here? Let's see. Well, if we say that, he just did his own thing, you know." He said, "No, we can't say that, because the people thought he was a man of God. They'll hate us, they'll stone us, you know. But if we say, well, he was a man sent from God, well, then Christ will say, well, then why weren't you baptized?" You see? So there's a proof they weren't baptized. So they said, "Oh, we can't answer that, Lord." He said, "Neither will I answer you by what authority I do these things." So we have proof that pause does not always mean all. So when we find it, it says God will have all men to be saved, you can't base that on the word pause. Even though we know from the context that it is speaking of all. Now we're going to take a look at a number of scriptures, and hopefully we start to get some clarification on these important matters. Now, so I put down here 1 Timothy 2:4, and of course you already brought it up, you know, that God our Savior will have all men. Okay, actually, now they find two problems with that. I have them there. 1, 2. The theologians find two problems with that. The word will. The word will comes from two different Greek words primarily in the New Testament. When it says in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," there, that is the strong form of the word will, and it means absolutely. Absolutely must be done. But then you have the weaker form, I say weaker, when it's not speaking in God's absolute declaration, but it means a sincere desire to do something. And Christ used it many times, Paul used it many times, but I've shown in an email on our site 7 places where it has to be more than a wish, because it absolutely has to come about by the context. But sometimes it doesn't. It just means a desire, you know. Paul said, "I desired to come unto you, but Satan hindered me." Well, then he didn't come. He didn't absolutely say, "I will come, and therefore it is written in stone, and it will happen," you see. Well, here where it says, "who will," it's that weaker form of desire. So you could translate it, God who desires that all. So they say, since it's only a desire, it doesn't have to come about. See? That's when you liken God to a man. But see, they're breaking the first, second, and the third commandment there. And the fifth, they're dishonoring their father. They break four commandments there, by saying that when God desires something, he can't always have it. Why? What kind of nonsense is that? How can you conceive of the human, that the creator of the universe desires, inside his emotional feeling, he desires to have something, but he can't. That's blasphemy. They don't think so. It is blasphemy. You're bringing God down to a human level. We humans desire. I desire for my knees to get better. It's not happening. But if God desired for his knees not to hurt, guess what? They wouldn't hurt. God doesn't have knees, but if he did. So first they say, the will there is nothing more than an unattainable weak wish. And the all means just as many as do whatever other scriptures say they have to do in order to be saved. That scripture proves no such thing as God will save all humanity, 1 Timothy 2:4. And it's in just such type situations where people, they read some of my material and they're ready to, the back of their gear. Rather than thinking how they're going to internalize these spiritual lessons, they're thinking how they're going to externalize them and go out and make a fool out of their pastor. And I can't tell you how many have tried and fell flat on their face. And then they write me back, Ray, quick. Tuesday, I'm meeting with my pastor again. And I told him about, this and this, these scriptures. But he said, boom, boom, boom. And now I don't know what to do, Ray. Help, please. And I say, hey, you made your bed, sleep in it. I don't think I made some enemies there. Sometimes I give them the answer, but I say, you're playing with fire. You think you're somebody. You think you understand. You think you can take on the theologians of the world who've been studying these things by the hundreds of thousands for 2,000 years. Well, you say, well, Ray, who do you think you are by doing this? Well, I'm a little more cautious than that. You know, men jump in, it says, where angels fear to tread. How true. How true. We jump in sometimes where even an angel would be afraid to go. We need to be careful about such things. All right, well, let's go on. And then I have 1 Timothy 4:10, which we already covered too. I asked the question here, why isn't there a Greek word like all? That always does mean all and every without exception. Why does this Greek word have that loophole in it? Why didn't God have at least one word that means all, every, absolutely, bar none, and then use it? And then the theologians wouldn't have an excuse to blaspheme God and say he's not going to save everyone but torture most of them in hell. Why didn't God provide such a word? Well, because if he did, how would Satan deceive the whole world? Revelation 12:9. You see? How would these theologians be deceived if there's no room for deception? And it says in Isaiah, but the word of God was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Why? That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That means taken captive in their own demented minds. That's the way the word of God is. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But if you have a heart that doesn't think the rest of humanity is as good as you, then there's room, you see, to pervert the scriptures, pervert your mind, and be easily deceived. Now, that's why there are these loopholes. That's why all doesn't always mean all. And when it says God will save all, they can say, well, it doesn't always mean everyone. So your doctrine is wrong. We had a saying back in Pennsylvania, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Many of you have ever heard that? Anyone heard that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's come all the way from Pennsylvania, all the way down to Alabama, Florida, right?
You started in Alabama.
You started in Alabama and went north. There you go. Okay, it's more than one way to skin a cat. Now, do all scriptures using the word all mean only some? Now, we've shown where some scriptures, at least, using the word all means only some. Do all scriptures that use the word all mean only some? All right, we got to prove our points here one at a time as we go. Now, but I say unto you in Matthew 12:36 that every word pause, the Greek word pause, every, but it's the word pause, all, that all idle words that men shall speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. Does anyone, you know, us or rather we or the church or theologian believe for one minute that he only means some of the idle words spoken by man will be judged? Only some. Does anyone believe that? Not even the theologians believe that's only talking about some, many, or a few. They believe that means all. Why? Because they have no problem with that being all. They have no problem with themselves saying, yeah, I need to judge all my own idle words. You know, I can't be saying any idle words any more than anybody else. They'll agree with that. Because it doesn't save everybody, so they still have that nasty little doctrine to hang on to, you see. Here's another one. But he answered and said unto them, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every, that's pause, the word pause, all, by all, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Again, what theologians say, well, that doesn't mean every or all. It just means we should live by some of God's word, and the parts of God's word that you don't like, you know, we can throw those away. No, they wouldn't say that. All right, now what about this one? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I could play their game and say, you know, that's the word pause. It means some or many. Not, it doesn't mean absolutely everyone. I'm one that it doesn't include. I have not sinned. And we know some people who claimed that just a little while back. I do no longer sin, you know. Of course, it is in the past tense, so you can't, even if you're sinless now, it says have sinned, you know, at least in the past. Really, would any theologian say, well, that doesn't mean all? No, they wouldn't. Well, when it says all have sinned, they say it means all. But when it says all will save, it doesn't mean all. What's their proof? What's our proof? Are you seeing why I put this study together today? Okay. They don't have a personal problem with being sinner, but they have a major problem with everybody being saved. They just don't like that, you see. So we're going to have to go a different route here if we want to, you know, like it says, expose those who contradict the Word of God. It's one thing to just say it, but if you're going to really expose it, you have to prove it. Okay. Is there other proof? Let's look at this now. So this one says, all have sinned. Now, can we find other proof that the all have sinned means everyone? Yes, we can. Look at Romans 3:12. They are all... Is that proof that all are sinned? No, not according to theologians. Gone out of the way, they are together. Is that the proof that all have sinned? No, not according to theologians. Become unprofitable... There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's the proof. There's the proof, you see? Now, you can't fight with that. Is there one person who has never sinned? No, not even one. You got a double negative. No, not one. So, yes, we do have proof. Here's another one. There is none good. No, not one. when Jesus Christ said, good master, he said, there is none good. None. Now that excludes any. But God. So yeah, we can prove that all have sinned means absolutely everyone. Now, can we prove that all will be saved means absolutely everyone will be saved? Any suggestions? Where are we going to go? Well, especially believers will be saved, yes, but what about all humanity? Believers, yes, but what about all humanity? Yeah, but the all is the many. He will save many who will come to Christ in the future, and especially those who are already believers.
I think probably.
I told you I'm going to play the theologian's advocate here.
I think probably Colossians 1, though, would cover just about everything.
Which verse?
19 to 20.
Were we just there?
Yeah, we were there a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Anything can be excluded from what this says.
Okay, right. But right. The reason I went over is because I got it later on. The reason I went over it is that's not what she based it on. I let her base that script. What she based that? What in that scripture did she base? And she was wrong. You brought that up, didn't you, Kathy? But there's more to that scripture than meets the eye, and
it covers the entire creation.
Right, because you got it. I don't know if you're exactly on the right point, but you're right. That is a good scripture, but not the point that Kathy brought up. That's why I glossed over it. Okay? Actually, you're going to find as we go through this, there are many scriptures that say nothing about the salvation of all men that prove that God will save all men. The scripture doesn't say any such thing, but it's proof. That's what I meant by, you know, we used to say there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know. There's more than one way to get from here to Toledo. You can take the shortest cut, but there are other ways, and they'll get you there too. Okay. Now, it says, no, not one. Now, I want to prove that the no, not one, no in the Greek is oi, and it never means some or any. And I want to prove that so we know each word. We're just going to nail it down, you see. It says in Matthew 7:21, not. This is the same Greek word, oi, that's translated a lot of times. No, not. Not, no, not, nay, neither, never, none, nothing. That's what it says in Strong. Now, that's pretty powerful. Now, does that mean some, a few? No. No, not, nay, neither, never, none, nothing. Not everyone, guess what? Every there is the same word translated all. It's the word pause. It means all, some, or many. Okay? Now, that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, not any. That say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But that's not the end of the sentence. But, here's the disclaimer. But, here's the exception to the rule. None, absolutely none, but. Okay? You can eat all the M&M's, but the yellow ones. I want those. Now, according to that statement, are you allowed to even eat one yellow M&M? No! You can eat all of them, but... Now, here it doesn't say all of them, but none of them. Not... It says not everyone, okay? But in the Greek, it's no all. Okay? No all should be saved. But it doesn't sound, it's not proper grammar to talk like that. So they say instead of no all, that say unto me, Lord, Lord, not, same negative, no not, all, every. And it's proper. It's the same. It's not a bad translation. That's the way it should be translated. Not every. But when you say not every, aren't you suggesting that maybe there are some? See, when you say not everyone will make it to the Olympics? Well, some will, right? Well, we have the but. So yes, it can be translated not everyone. Everyone but. Here's the but, see? So it's still proper. So now we have, you know, literally, oh, a pause, not all, which means not all, not any, not many, no, whatever, many or few. But only he that does the will of my Father. So not a single person who doesn't do the will of his Father will be in the kingdom. The no all, clarify that. None whatsoever. No exceptions. So here the negative no, not, neither, nor, never, oy, it means every. There is no exception. Now let's see where we find that word and see what we can figure out from that, okay? Next heading is deducing scriptural truth. And I give a little example here because some people might not know what it means to deduce something. So I put here, if Nazareth is north of Jerusalem and Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem, you following? Here's Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. Then we can deduce that Bethlehem is also south of Nazareth. Even though we don't have a Bible verse that tells us that. You deduce it. It's got to be. If up here's Nazareth, here's down, here's Bethlehem. Nazareth is north of Jerusalem. Nazareth is south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. Then Bethlehem must also be south of Nazareth. That's a deduction. You don't have an actual statement, but you deduce it, and it is factual truth. I mean, that's how scientists figure out lots of things. Got to deduce it by something else. All right, now, notice what it says in this next verse. Let me just turn to it. Let's see, that's 2 Peter 3:9. This is for the benefit of people who are listening to the tape, don't have the notes in front of them. 2 Peter, let me get to it. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, see, if we, I want to get us out of our old mindset. The old mindset, most of us look at that verse, and what would be the proof that all would be saved? It's going to bring all to repentance. But that's the word pause, which can mean many. But don't give up on this verse so quickly. There's more to it. Let's do a little deduction work here. And I'm going to go to the most difficult, I'm taking the most difficult scenario of how to prove these things first. From here on, they'll get simpler, okay? So the Lord is not. See? That word is oi. Now, we just established up here that it always means no, not, any, never, with no exceptions, right? Because if there's an exception, then you can get into the kingdom of God without doing the will of the Father, if there's one exception. So this word oi means absolutely none. Now, let's read it with the salvation of people in mind. The Lord is not. That is no, not, nay, never, ever, none, ought, zero. Is not slack concerning his promise. So is there any slackness at all in God's promise? No, not at all, none. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Now, not. But notice in your notes, this is not number 3856. Oi, this is number 3361 mia in the Greek. And it also means though, not, no, neither, never, no, none, nothing. Now, he is absolutely not none, ever, nothing, naught willing. There's nothing in his will or desire. Okay? That any should perish. Now, let's look at the word willing is means to will or be willing, disposed, minded, or intending. It's absolutely, there's no slackness, and that God is not in any way, okay, willing, minded, or disposed, that any, that's the Greek word tis, and that means some, any, a thing, anything at all, certain, difference, every man, one, even one, see the word one, ought, some man, somebody, or something, or somewhat, no thing. Now that's all from Strong's definition of that word tis. So how many is God willing or intending are going to perish? This is talking about our destiny, not in this lifetime. How many? Not even one. Naught. Zero. Not some, not any, not at all. Any. Perish. But that all, well, there's the Greek word pause, but shall come to repentance. Okay? We could take that out. But that they should come to repentance. Forget the word all. Take it out. We don't need it. But that they. Who? Anybody who doesn't come under the category of none. Are you following it? This is all based on the negative. How many that don't come under the category of none, not any, not any man, not any woman, not anything, not whatever, nothing. Now, if you're not in that category, you're going to come to repentance and not have a destiny of being perishing or perished. Apaluma. How many is that? That's everyone. Everyone does not come under the mia, the none. See? So it includes everyone. Now, we understand that all humanity is in a state of apaluma sometime. See? Because apaluma means destroy, perish, or lose. And all mankind are lost. So it's not talking about in this lifetime no one will ever be destroyed or die or be perished or be spiritually lost. No, as their destiny. Because in this lifetime they do. But ultimately, our destiny forever with God, there'll be none perished or lost. None. None. The negative proves it. If there's even one that comes under that category, it can come under that category because that category doesn't include anyone. It's a negative. No one. See? He's not willing that anyone, no one, be perishing or lost forever. And there again, the apaluma, Christ said, I've come to save those that are apaluma. When the scriptures say, the Lord is not slack, is there any room for slackness? No. A little slackness. No. No slackness at all. And when he says, is not willing that any should perish, you know, it proves the positive side. The negative proves the positive side. If I say to a group of people, none of you will go hungry today, does that not prove that somehow they're going to get fed? Because if they don't, any of them go hungry, but they're not fed, they will go hungry. So the fact that you say, none of, I promise you, no one in here will go hungry today. If you fulfill that promise, somehow you got to feed them. So when God says no one, no, not one will perish, then guess what? He has to save them. He has to, or he's lying. But we would base this scripture on the word all. All will come. You don't need the word all. Take it out. Just put the word they. However many they. We know however many they are. They are as many as are not included in the none. How many are included in the none? None. Then who are the they? They are everyone. You got it? Okay. God gave us minds. Sometimes we have to use them, right? Now, he says not willing. Okay, willing. That is not intending. Not mindful to do it. But they argue, like they do in 1 Timothy 2:4, God wills that all men be saved. Well, the wills, they say, that just means a wish. Well, how strong is that wish? Let's see. We now go to Isaiah 46:40, and it says, God is declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. Will do all my pleasure. Calling a rabbit, you may say, well, yeah, that word all, it's got the same Hebrew word, Ranus, or I forget what the Hebrew word for all is. It still means all, complete, or many, you see. Well, we're not going to base it on that. Calling a ravenous bird from the east and a man that executes my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will do it. That's emphatic. If God has desired it, spoken it, purposed it, He'll do it. You can't get away from that. If you say, well, yeah, but only some of the thing. No, you're making God a liar. Has God said it's His will that all men be saved? Yes. What did He say about that? I've spoken it. Well, guess what? If I've spoken it, I will do it. How would God get out of that? Somebody's in hell. They say, Lord, why am I in hell? 1 Timothy 4, your word, which cannot be broken, says that it's your will that all men be saved. I'm a man, why am I not saved? And he says, well, I was hoping you would be saved, but you're not. But you spoke it in your word that it's your will. Well, yeah, I did. Well, then you have to do it. No, I don't. What do you mean? Yes, you do. God, you also said back in Isaiah, if you spoke it, you will do it. Oops. Well, maybe God isn't perfect after all. Can you use your mind and start thinking about the... Don't ever let people trap you with this stuff. Look at it. You know, maybe you need to meditate on this a while. So that you have it in your head, you know, but, you know, just realize... You don't have to use those scriptures that say all will be saved. There's lots of scriptures that prove God will save all, even though it doesn't say so. They say, who will have all men to save? Will, desire, who would desire to have all men to be saved? Won't happen. It'll happen, either it'll happen, or Isaiah 46, 40 to 41, it's a lie. He said, if I've spoken it, if I've purposed it, if it's part of my counsel, I will do it. There you go. Bingo. How are we doing here? Well, we're moving along. Here's a verse. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he does have pleasure, I have, in them turning and living. Therefore, they will have to turn, repent, and live eventually. In the bracket. Now let's continue. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Yea, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Now we know he's talking about them dying back then when he's talking to them and the prophets are going to them and they're going to be destroyed and put into captivity and everything else. But this is a principle. It doesn't matter when it's back then or in the future or whenever. God never takes pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's the point I want to make. If he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked here, why would he take pleasure in the death of the wicked in the lake of fire? It's a contradiction. You say, God, you say you don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, yet you're going to throw most of humanity in the lake of fire, which is the second death of the wicked. That's a contradiction. He said, no, it's not. I changed my mind. But God, your word says you never change. You see? See how easy it is? Just stick with the scriptures. It's easy. It's easy. God shows you through His Spirit. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The church teaches the lake of fire is the second death, and it lasts for all eternity. So the death of the wicked is going to be here for all eternity, they say. God says, I don't take pleasure in that. Well, that's one thing you're going to have to live with, God. He said, no, I fulfill all my pleasures. That's not one of them. Guess what? It'll have to go. Second death, like a fire, it's going to have to go. Because God does not take pleasure in that. Can you see it? Okay. Now, how many constitutes the whole world? When it speaks about the whole world, how many are we talking about? Let's look at some scriptures. Does the whole world sometimes mean only a portion of the world? Now, follow this closely. I have the whole world. Now, there's sometimes it uses the world. It doesn't include every last single human being. It does have a generality to it, okay? But the phrase, the whole world in the New Testament is used only half a dozen times. And every time it's used, it means all humanity. Now, look at the first one here. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Oops! Did I shoot myself in the foot? Do we really believe that His word was spoken about in the whole world, all of the inhabitants of the whole world, including China? Was the faith of the Romans being spoken of in China? I don't think so. Well, then how can I say every place where it's phrased the whole world, it means all humanity? How can I say that? Because this is not translated properly, that's why. Because it should be, it's in the aorist tense. And the Greek is being proclaimed. See? Is being proclaimed. Rotherham and the Concordant both have, is being proclaimed. That's the indefinite, the Greek aorist. It's the is, was, and will be tense. It's the past, present, and future tense. It's the indefinite tense. Now, question. Is the faith of the Romans being proclaimed in China today? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It certainly is. So, when it says, is being spoken of, being proclaimed, the progression, will it continue until it reaches everyone? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let's go and look at a couple of verses that also has this phrase, the whole world. 1 John 2:2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Guess what? How does this prove the salvation of all?
Because
Yeah, but does it say the whole world will be saved?
The one thing he's talking about is the whole world. He's talking about is the inhabitants, isn't he?
Well, but does it say all the inhabitants, all the people, every human being on earth will be saved? Does it say that in there someplace?
The sins. Propitiation for the sins.
Does that show that they're going to be all be saved?
If you take away all the sins in the world, then I would say yes.
You're right. You're right. You've got to go back to the word propitiation. Okay? Now, you threw me just for a second there, because there's a verse that says, and it's John 1:29. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Okay? Now, this word propitiation means atonement. Starting back in the Old Testament, atonement. Propitiation is an atonement, and it's a covering for sin. It covers sin. Now, if it covers sin, does it cover it for a while and then it gets out? Well, it did in Israel. It covered it for how long? 1 year. 1 year is all it covered. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the Ark of the Covenant with the blood, you see. And that was on the Day of Atonement, one time a year. That was good for a whole year. And that's, guess what? Do it again. But then we read in Hebrews 7 that our high priest, he entered into the Holy of Holies one time. And that laugh, that was good, see? One time. So this propitiation is a one-time deal. Now notice it. And it's for not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. All the inhabitants of the world. It covers all the sins of the world. They would agree with that. See, at least we have a scripture that the theologians agree on, that that propitiation covers all sins. But then they turn it into a lie by suggesting, only though, if you accept that propitiation. It doesn't actually cover all sins, only if you let it. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. So let's not be making a liar out of what Jesus Christ did. He is the propitiation for all sins, and not for our sins, the sins of the whole world. Atonement is kephar. It means to cover, placate, conceal, appease, cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, pardon, purge away, reconcile. Man, those are powerful words, any one of them. Anyone is a powerful word. When all the population of the whole world has their sins covered, placated, concealed, appeased, cleansed, disannulled, forgiven, piled on with mercy, pardoned, purged away, and they're now reconciled to God, they're saved. They're saved. There's a scripture that proves all humanity will be saved. Right there. Either he is the propitiation of the sins of the whole world, or he's not. This says he is. Therefore, all mankind must be saved, or he's not the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Then there are sins of some people are not covered. They're going to go to hell and be in a state of spiritual death, which God is not pleased with, but tough toenails, God can't have what he pleases. It's nonsense. It's heresy. All of it's heresy. And when it says whole, it means we not only have world, meaning the population of the world, not the trees and the stones. It means the whole, the all, the complete, all together, every whit throughout. That's what whole means. Whole never means half of or a part of. The whole means the complete. The whole enchilada, the whole ball of wax, right? Next page. Boy, we are zipping along here. That's what Jesus is. If he doesn't do it, then he isn't the propitiation. Well, what does the scripture say? Is he or isn't he? He is. Now, here's another good one. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, it doesn't have the whole there. It means the inhabitants of the world. So we don't have the word whole in there. Actually, I put this in before I realized I was going to just deal with the whole world. Okay, but it doesn't matter. Is he the Savior of the world? Is there anything in the Greek there that insinuates that he is only the potential or possible? Or is it emphatic? He is. That Jesus, he sent him to be the Savior of the world. Okay? Now here we have the same thing as this stupid nonsense that was being taught, and is still being taught by some, that Jesus Christ was made to be sin. You can't be something that you're not. Sin means breaking the law. See? Lawlessness. Law breaking. Now you can't be a law breaker and yet turn around and say, but you never break the law. I'm going to write a paper on this. And I have some silly ones in there. You can't be a NASCAR driver if you've never been in a race car. You see, you can't be what you're not. To say that you can be something that you are not is just plain grammatical stupidity. Take away the fact that the Scriptures teach no such thing. You can't be what you're not. Jesus Christ can't be the Savior of the world if he doesn't save the world.